Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. All right, welcome to today's episode. We have special guests with us, Mr. Brody Lee. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you, man. You're someone that doesn't just believe in doing big million-dollar events. You believe in doing them better. You're very a purpose-driven person, and you love running not just impactful, but profitable live events. For our audience who may be hearing you for the first time here, you are the author of Million Dollar Events and How to Increase Your Impact and Income with Insanely Profitable Live Events. And you've helped and designed over 1,400 live and virtual events and generated over $125 million in client revenue and nearly $5 million in measurable impacts tied to global giving. In fact, I recently got to see you in action as an MC at an event, and I saw your ability to hold space, create energy, and elevate the room. It was world class. You really were an anchor for the experience. And a couple of fun facts for our audience, which I really appreciated, is the fact that you were a former Buddhist monk and a time Business for Good Award winner and an optimist with a big dream. Just like me, you have a dream of going to space one day. I would say more than a dream, a goal, hosting a live event from space, from a hotel in space, and broadcasting it to the world and raising billions of dollars through that endeavor. And today we're going to get to hear your perspective on how to design, deliver, and fill million-dollar events and what it takes behind the scenes.
Beautiful. But I cannot wait. I'm sorry about that. Something just crashed next to me. So audience, this is live, as you can tell. We're going to have fun. So man, thanks so much for having me. I think one of the things that I want to just start with and just let people know is that I have a very, very deep respect for events and the craft of events. And the reason why I do is because events have shaped every single critical thing that humans have done throughout human history. If you think about just in modern history, for example, we think about the labor movement, the 8-hour workday, the suffragette movement, equality for women. We think about the racial justice, Martin Luther King, the I Have a Dream speech. We think about equality movement. Anything that's kind of happened that's moved the human race forward has happened at an event. We cast our minds back as well. Blood sports at the Colosseum, maybe not like something that most people would think of as, but it was an event that people came together for. And humans have always come together to connect, to communicate, and to engage in commerce with events ever since we've been alive. And so I love them as a way to get people to connect with each other. Now, I'm not a religious person. I was raised as Buddhist and I'm ordained as a monk, as you kind of shared. But there's a company, an organization in the world that I would say is the best events organization in the world. And I might piss a few people off saying this, but the church has been running the same event for 2,025 years. And they've been running it every Sunday at millions of locations around the world. And they get people to donate 10% of their income. And the dude that started the whole thing died 2,025 years ago. And the events are still running. So I would say the church is probably the best events organization in the whole world. The reason I'm sharing this is because the craft of events, the art and the science of them, and it really is an art and a science, is something that's deeply fascinating and powerful, because with an event, you have the ability to impact more people and the evolution of the human species in one day than most people would in an entire lifetime. And that's why I love events so much.
Remarkable, man. I appreciate all of that context. And you are the author of Million Dollar Events, the book, helping many people create seven-figure events. In fact, you're at an event right now. You're helping your client with their event, and the next event will be a target for $1 million. What inspired you to write the book Million Dollar Events?
It actually came out of the pandemic, funnily enough. So in 2020, I'll just get a little bit of backstory. I previously ran large events for Apple. So back in the Steve Jobs days, the iPhone was just starting to gain traction and we would do these big, massive product launches. And Steve was a master at selling from stage. I've learned so much from him. And we would have millions of people flooding into our stores. And Apple is known for one-to-one selling, but we weren't able to do that at these product launches. And so I helped train leadership and executive teams. At that point, I had the Canadian market. I mean, we would train them on Apple's one to many selling process. And I rolled out a strategy so that people were basically, we had team members at the foot of a table facilitating a sales conversation with 40 people at once. And I had a PhD style education from Steve on how to sell from stage. So that was in a previous life. I had something happen in my life, big dramatic thing that got me into the personal development world. And I started my business originally out coming off the back of an event, a Tony Robbins event. And you were just speaking before the show about a Tony Robbins event that you went to. And we started building this business. And in my first year in business, my first ever event, I naively boosted a Facebook event because I was so green to the industry. And 40 people said that they were coming to this event. I had a venue booked and everything. I was like, great, 40 people, this is going to be amazing. And then 6:45, no one was there. 7:00, no one was there. 7:15, one person walked in. I wanted to die. I'd been running these large events before. And then the first time I'm running my own, like one person showed up. I had a choice to make at that point. Do I like run, which is what I wanted to do, or do I stay and facilitate? And I stayed and facilitated. And at the end of 3 hours, that person became a client and I made $20,000 from that event. And what happened was I made a commitment that I was never going to have an empty room ever again, first of all, when I was going to figure it out in this industry. And we built up the business. In my first year, I did $1.3 million in revenue. But in the pandemic, this is something really interesting happened. I'd just come back from a Tony Robbins event at his house in Sun Valley in Idaho and came back and landed in Australia. This is 2020, was supposed to be my breakout year in this industry. I had 36 weeks of travel and stages and events booked around the world. The day after I landed back in Australia from his event, we shut down our borders for 2 years and Australians were not allowed to leave the country. Now, it was a brilliant decision on the government's behalf because we saved like millions of lives. And I think 20,000 people or something like that lost their lives in Australia because of COVID. But what it did for us, it's that we kept having these lockdowns. And so I lost millions of dollars overnight, but then we kept having these lockdowns and even my Australian events kept getting pushed back. And about, when was it? It was about July. I said to my team, I said, we're going to do a virtual event. Now at this point, virtual events were not a thing. People were not doing them. And my team kind of groaned. They're like, oh, Brody, like virtual events suck. People are still doing them in the kitchen. I'm like, no, we're going to hold people just like in a live event, just like we planned. We're going to hold them on Zoom for 16 hours a day for 3 days, and people are going to tune in from all over the world and they're going to walk away saying it was the best event that they've ever been to. And that's exactly what happened. I had 200 people come to this event. Our stick rate was 96% across the entire 3 days. And at the end of the second day, we're going to talk about this in terms of live events, but we created an experience in that Zoom setting that now you see other people doing with these fabulous studios and whatnot. And I believe that we were probably the first one to do something like that. We had the music and all this sort of stuff, and we were doing philanthropic giving. People would type impact into the chat every time they were touched, moved, and inspired, all this sort of stuff. At the end of the second day, I kind of was like, oh, maybe I should sell something. I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I was like, let's just give to the community, help them get through this chaos. So I wrote down our offer on the back of a proverbial napkin on a piece of paper, sent it like an offer that I made up, sent it to my team, and they did up the slides. And the next day I presented the offer and I made $1 million. I got 43 new clients. I forget what it was a $2,000 offer. And we made $1 million. And that started the $1 million event movement. And we started looking at it as, okay, well, that was our primary acquisition strategy for that business. Now, there was a coach coaching coaches on how to coach coaches. And then we ended up doing live events and virtual events and whatnot, built up a $3.5 million business and through like pretty new business at that time. And through that, we refined the IP and we got it to a really, really, really good point. And at that point, I walked away from that business because I was not aligned with my mission of having coaching coaches on how to coach coaches was not the impact that I had set out to achieve originally. And so I went all in on events as the primary thing we consulted with people on that we did ourselves and really, really went in and deep on the IP. And so the book was born out of that. And the book was born out of everything that we'd learned during the pandemic and everything we'd learned since then to ensure that people were being able to fill their rooms, that they were able to design incredible content that touched, moved and inspired people. And flag this, that it's not just content, but conversion content. When you're designing content, most people just think, oh, I'm just going to go present and then I might make an offer. But there is an intention between, like from every word that comes out of your mouth with the sale in mind. And then obviously how to create compelling offers and sell them from stage as well. So that's where it came.
Remarkable, man. Thank you for that background. I was about to ask you a little bit more about the anatomy of a $1 million event, and you kind of started to go into it. Are there any other, like, the main essential ingredients that you think are required to have $1 million, or what are they? What are the essential ingredients?
Yeah, and so we have a 5-step system that we teach around events. It's set up, show up, blow up, pay up, and scale up. So setup is all really about setting up an events ecosystem that fits with your impact, your income, and your lifestyle goals. Everyone's different, and you can make any event work and be profitable and create $1 million, but you need to make it work for you and for your audience. But I always say that it's got to come for you first. And so we make a decision. Are you doing a 1-day event, a 2-day event, a virtual event, a live event? Where are you going to do it? All that sort of stuff and figuring that out. And how does it, like, connect with your mission and your vision and everything? The show up piece is all about filling the room with very high qualified bums on seats. And so that is about generating demand for the event. So how do we get eyeballs and hands raised? Then once we've generated that demand for the event, we need to build trust with them before they come so that they're red hot and ready to purchase your offer. It's a bit that's missed, actually, that nurture piece before people arrive, so that people are kind of, like, really educated. They're really informed. They know what they're coming into, and they're primed to be in the buyer's mindset before they come. And then there's obviously the driving attendance piece of that as well, making sure people actually follow through on their commitment to come. We know different things like show up rates differ in virtual events, in-person events, and so on. So that's the show up piece. The blow up piece is all about blowing their minds with inspiring content and delivery so that they're touched, moved, and inspired and want to purchase your offer. And so what that looks like is, first of all, you have to create an amazing value for people in the room, and it needs to be engineered in a way that gets them closer to the buyer's pocket. The second piece of this is around designing an experience that is, and this is what I'm really passionate about, people do they do a disservice to people that have invested their time in coming. If you think about it, the costs of people coming, there is a time investment of time out of their business. There's an opportunity cost investment because they're not necessarily doing income generating activities. There is a relational investment as well because they're away from their families and all of those sorts of things. And so we need to make sure that that experience is worthy of them investing that time with you. And so many people do it poorly. I'm talking about creating incredible activations, making sure that you're not just in some boring room and it's just some monotone speaker and all of those sorts of things. And the third piece of this puzzle is around your production value, which enhances all of this, making sure that you're paying attention to really, really fine details and that the event runs like a smooth machine. Every single touch point that people have with you, the environment can contribute to conversion. The fourth piece of the puzzle is what we call pay up. And pay up is all about getting paid. So we need to create offers that we call them offers that sell themselves. You might have an offer that you're selling on a 45-minute sales call. You cannot present that offer in the same way from stage, and you have to engineer the offer in a very different way. It can be the same program and all that sort of stuff and the same deliverable, but how you communicate it has to be very different. And it has to be based on a lot of the stuff that's happened at the event, because you're going to engineer a lot of this thing. The next piece is obviously we need to perfect your pitch and make sure that art and the science of platform pitching is one of your top skill sets. So many people think about the pitch as being an event within the event, and I'll just present all of this content and then I might present an offer. But the pitch is actually a process. I teach that there's only three things that matter at an event. There's one person, one skill, and one process. The person is you. You're the most important person at your event because you have the skill of frame control. That's the most important skill that you need at your event, to hold the frame and to direct people's attention where you want them to direct it and all that sort of stuff, and make sure that your frame is, that you have the most, what I call the most flexible frame. Most people say that, oh, the person with the strongest frame wins in a sales conversation. I actually say that the person with the most flexible frame wins, because if you're flexible in your approach in how you communicate something to someone, the likelihood of you helping them to make a decision, a purchasing decision, is much, much greater than if you're rigid, which is how they might be in that moment. I don't want to buy this, rah, 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 rah. And then the process, the most important process as an event, is the process pitching. And the process of pitching begins in your marketing and your pre-event marketing, and it goes all the way through. It's not just an event at the event. So that's the two things of pay up. The third thing of pay up is around how you manage the experience for once they have purchased, and managing the influx of new clients. I often say to people, if I was to give you 100 new clients today, what would be the first thing to break in your business? And for most people, they say, I would break, because they don't have solid systems in place to ensure that people have a beautiful experience when they come in. And what happens is you end up seeing churn. You get buyer's remorse. People are not primed on the entry into your program, and then, you know, that momentum can be dropped and you can obviously lose clients. And then the last piece of the puzzle is all around scaling up. And so you nail all that other stuff, and then it's about optimization and scale. So we look at things like building an events team around you that support you. And as your events grow, how to ensure that you've got like a rock solid team around you. The second piece of this is all around operational excellency and ensuring that your operations and your backend and all that sort of stuff operates at a really, really high level to support your event. And then the final piece of the puzzle is driving profitability of the event as well. So we look at things like sponsorships and those sorts of things to ensure that I want the event to be cash positive before the event starts. I hate it when people are cash negative and they're relying on their sale for their event, like the sales of their event to kind of cover the cost of that event. I think that's a really dangerous position to be in. So we leverage things like sponsorships and ticket sales and whatnot, and negotiate and make incredible deals with venues and whatnot to ensure they are cash positive before the event started. And that's the 5 steps of a $1 million event.
Remarkable, man. I don't think you've thought of this at all.
No, never.
It's very clear that you have a framework and a model that you've tested and refined and defined, tested, refined, and used to help your clients, which is phenomenal. Inside of all this, I know you've worked with a lot of clients with their events. What are, you say, some of the most common mistakes event leaders make that cost them the most?
Yeah, paying too much attention to the stuff that happened after you've got people to register, before you've got people to register. So the most important thing is obviously getting quality bums on seats. And that should be your primary focus in the lead up to your event. You absolutely need to be focused on that. And I think sometimes people work in reverse order. They're like, I'll design the event first, and then I'll design my offer and all that sort of stuff, and then I will market it once I feel comfortable that I have an event. This is one of those things where you need to build the ship on the way down, meaning that obviously you've got to have the demand there first before you can even do an event. And so I really, when we work with our clients, most of the time we spend on marketing and the acquisition strategy of people purchasing tickets to their event, because without that, you don't have an event at all. So that would be one mistake. And another mistake I would probably say is treating your audience like a cash machine, like an ATM. I've been to so many events. I know that we've all been to events where it's a pitch fest and it's just offer after offer after offer with no kind of respect for the people in the room. And those multi-speaker events, I think, do us a disservice. Like, for example, the only person that's allowed to make an offer from my stage is myself, one of my sponsors, if that, right? The reason for that is because I respect that people have taken time, money, et cetera, to be in the room. And so we need to deliver value for them. And also, I don't want people just to think I want them for their cash. Like, I mean, of course, I want to make lots of money, absolutely. But the main reason I'm in service people is because I want to have a genuine impact on their lives. I want them to create the type of impact that they dream about, the type of wealth that most people can like only dream about, and contribute to the world to help other people's dreams kind of come true. And so if you come from a place of this is an ATM, the event will not go well at all. What basically people should be extracting from you, your genius, you should be a knowledge ATM for the people there. And it will come back. It will come back to you tenfold if you treat it like that. Probably my 2 biggest ones.
Right on. Thank you for helping me understand that. Yeah. Don't treat your people like an ATM. That should be, I think everyone would know that, but unfortunately that's not the practice in every event. Lead with value. I love it, man. Thank you for sharing. So you mentioned a couple points about filling a room, which is typically to your point, like you got to do that first before you think about everything else. Let's talk about filling the room. That's one of your areas of expertise. What would you say are 2 or 3 of your top, or even your number one top strategy that consistently used to attract great people to your event?
Yeah. The game has changed since the pandemic, and it's harder to get people to invest time for in-person experiences, which is very interesting because people are craving like connection more than ever. We're in a very polarized world. We've got the rise of tech, these beautiful phones, and one that just fell down on the floor before, that have the ability to connect us. And yet most of us are operating our businesses on Zoom and all that sort of stuff now. So I think people have fallen out of practice of attending these sorts of things. And so it's harder to get them to kind of break away from the business, from the family, off Zoom, et cetera, et cetera. And so before, where we might've even been able to run ads directly to a live event, it's getting harder and harder to do stuff like that. And we need to be a lot more creative around how we engage with people. I think if we look at our industry, people say that there is a trust recession at the moment. I believe that there is a trust and experience recession, meaning that people aren't providing great experiences that compel people to want to come to their events. And we know that people need more touch points with you to make purchasing decisions now. And so the way to through that to get people to your events, I share this, is that virtual events to sell in-person tickets are an incredible way to do it. And the reason why I think they're so effective is because people get to spend time with you. They get to know more of you. And as well as that, they get to see the value of working. Now, that's if you are directly advertising and directly selling tickets yourself. The other thing that's really important on this is leveraging other people's networks to be able to help fill your events. And so that's having an incredible affiliate system, other people that have got complimentary kind of offers and things like that, where they can either get people to come to your virtual event to send, or you can support them with some sort of a deal to get their audience to your event as well. I think that sort of affiliate relationship is very, 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 very underutilized, because people don't know how to create great affiliate models, and maybe they don't have the right network. And so obviously we can, in working with us, we connect people with affiliate managers and stuff like that can do that for them. I actually got very excited. I'm running some virtual events where we're spinning some stuff. I've just moved to the United States myself, and so a year ago. And so I'm spinning up my business here in the US, and I'm very fortunate. I've got about 500,000 emails that are going out. So like, I've got people, affiliates, that are sending to 500,000 email addresses over the next week for our event. So I'm kind of like partially nervous. That's the most I've ever had sent in one go. But at the same time, it just kind of demonstrates the power of using other people's networks and paying handsomely for it as well. Like, we pay out very, very high affiliate commissions because it just saves us so much work in terms of managing ads and all of those sorts of things. The third one that I would say is that not to be afraid of paid advertising, but advertising to a paid event, like a $5,000 ticket, a $10,000 ticket, unless you've got a lot of cash behind you and you can afford to do all of that split testing and all of that sort of stuff, it can be a money sinkhole, especially if you don't have a huge profile. We generally recommend these days that virtual events are the gateway. Only other thing that I would suggest is that if you're running a sales team, that you should think about what offer your sales team are making to people when they're on those calls. Might be that the best ascension is actually to get them to come to an event before signing into a program. And one of the reasons why I think that events are, well, I know, actually we have data to back this up, that people are more likely to stay in your program long-term if they purchase at an event versus a 45-minute sales call. And it just makes sense. Like, if they're with you for 3 days versus 45 minutes, it's going to be so much more know, like, and trust factor as well. So yeah, they're probably my top tips in terms of filling your event. There's no one size fits all policy though. Every industry, every niche, every market is different. Everyone responds differently. We just need to test and figure out what your market's responding to the best.
Yeah, no one size fits all. I couldn't agree more. Every single event, every single market is slightly different, and you got to be willing to test and scale that test. Thank you for sharing your experience and best practice on that. And congratulations on your email broadcast that we're going to your next event. Speaking of your next event, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you have coming up as far as your next event. And yeah, I'd love to hear more about what you're doing with your business and your
events. Yeah. So we're spinning up some virtual events here in the US using our AI-powered one-day selling system. So this is for virtual. Basically, the premise is that you can replace an entire year's worth of sales calls just one day and reduce your reliance on your sales team. I don't like that. Some people say, oh, you can eliminate your sales team. I think that's a little bit naive because sales teams are really important for the follow-up. But you can reduce your reliance on them, reduce the amount of commissions you're paying out. A lot of people hustle and struggle to get sales calls, but with the right strategy, you can actually do all of that in one day, 4 hours, 8 hours. So I'm excited about that. We're going to be doing them monthly over the next little while. And we've leaned into AI. We have created an AI called Events Expert, and it's got all of our IP in it, and it's producing some phenomenal results for our clients. A quick example is I fed ideal client profile data into the AI mid that we had gathered from the audience at an event, live at the event, about their pain, their fears, their wants, their aspirations, all that sort of stuff. Used our ultimate repitch framework to produce a repitch script for us to be able to use live at the virtual event. We pulled an extra $75,000 out of that room virtually at that client's first event. We've also done something similar at an in-person event recently where we changed the process based on feedback from our AI in terms of our repitch, and we extracted an extra $300,000 out of that room. So I'm excited about the virtual side of things and how we're integrating AI at every single touch point of the event, from the marketing to the pre-nurture to the event design itself to the offer, the pitch. It's like, it's really, really cool. But what I'm most excited about is the event that I'm going to be doing later this year in November called Impact, Revolutions Disguised as Gatherings. So at the start of this, I spoke about how everything that's happened throughout history has started with an event, all of the main revolution. And so this event is actually kind of an iteration of that first $1 million event. We used to call that event Impact as well. And I've always wanted to do it live in the United States, but we'd never done it before because I was based in Australia and I didn't really have a following here and those sorts of things. And so the premise of the event is all about live events. And it's all about how to ensure that you have a really, really, really powerful live event. I think that live events are done very poorly in the industry. I think that's because a lot of people don't understand the art and science of them. And they just think if I plonk people into a room, they'll buy. I want to, for lack of a better term, I want to make events great again. I want people, when they come into your room, to feel like they have entered a different world. That everything strips away behind them and that we respect the fact that they're in the room and we give them an unforgettable experience that they want to come back year after year after year, that they want to do the promotion for you for the event. And when they walk out of that room doing whatever it is that you're selling or whatever your thing is, that they are so empowered that they feel like their success is inevitable, whether or not they choose to work with you at the event or not. And this event for us is going to be us teaching those sorts of things. And I'm really excited by it because at the end of day one, everyone's going to have their marketing for their event built, launched, so that they can start selling tickets immediately. At the end of day two, they will have their entire event designed, everything ready to go in order to be able to facilitate the event. And on the end of day three, they'll have their offer dialed in and their pitch dialed in as well. The impact side of it though, and so that's the baseline of what this event is. But the impact side of it is that I'm really looking to help people to become categories of one in their niche. If you have a look at people like Tony Robbins, he's been doing the same event, Unleash the Power Within, for 40 years. Same one event. And that event, if there's any indication that that's the best acquisition strategy to have a maximum impact on people's lives, the fact that he's been doing the same event for 40 years should tell you that events never fatigue. Most of the strategies that we've been using over the past, like in the internet, like most of the strategies and acquisition strategies, sales calls, all that sort of stuff, sales calls from internet marketing have only been around VSLs, et cetera, for the last 25 years. And so if I'm going to bet on a strategy to help me influence and impact as many people as possible, that I want to reach 8 billion people through the space event, I'm going to bet on the strategy that the biggest name in the industry has been using for 40 years. And one of the most iconic people throughout history events have been done in his name for 2025 years. And the things that have created all of these social movements, I'm going to bet on that live event as the mechanism to help me with my impact. We're going to do a lot of philanthropy through the event as well. That's a core part of my brand. You said the 5 million impacts across the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And what we're doing is we're taking people to think about events, not just as an event, but as literally a revolution in their industry and in their niche. And I can hand on heart say it's not going to be like any other event you've going to be into, where the activations that we're designing, the experience that we're designing, I'm holding people in the room for 12 hours. Most events, they struggle to keep you engaged for like 8 hours. But I know that people are going to be more energized at the end of the day than at the start of the day. So November, going to be great.
Awesome, man. Yeah, this has been incredible. For those listening here and they want to create their own $1 million events, where should they start?
Ooh, that's a great question. So they should start by putting on their first event like I did when only one person showed up. I think one of the things that the fear that people have about events is that, like, I'll be honest, they are not the easiest client acquisition strategy. They're really not. They're probably the most highest risk strategy, but with that risk comes reward. And so we normally, when we work with our clients, is we normally say after about 3 events is when you really start seeing the momentum and the scale. The first 3 are just kind of you testing the waters, getting your numbers and everything like that, and just kind of understanding what your market's responding to. Put on an event. The lowest risk strategy is to put on a virtual event first and just to kind of see how that goes. But I would not shy away from in-person events. In fact, we've seen 2 of the biggest in-person events drop off the radar this year with Traffic and Conversions and Funnel Hacking Live. I think that that's leaving a gap for people to really step up. And that's why I'm stepping up in terms of creating this Impact Revolutions Disguised as Gatherings. But people are often fearful that an event will fail. And I kind of say to them, well, there's the fear of the failure of the event failing, or there's the fear of the failure of like you not fulfilling your mission and impacting as many people's lives as possible. Which fear are you more committed to? So it's simple. You can put on the simplest, easiest event. You can hire an Airbnb. You can put 10 people in the room and that can be your first event. Amazing. You could have something in your house. I've actually had masterminds in this house and I've got a penthouse here in New York City and it looks out all over out of downtown and the East River. I've had masterminds in my houses and stuff like that. So I think sometimes people overcomplicate it a little bit as well. They go, I've got to have this big Tony Robbins style event. Start small. Just get your feet wet. And then as you build and grow, you can get further and closer to those $1 million rent. By the way, you don't need a ton of people in a room to have $1 million rent. You can do it with a really, really, really high offer. For example, you can have a $100,000 offer and have 10 people in the room and still make $1 million when you close all of those people. I had a client that did an in-person event and she closed 100% of the room and made $2 million plus rev share from the people in that room, which is insane. It was a small event. I forget exactly the number of people. It was like 20 people in the room or something like that. So yeah, that's it.
Beautiful, man. This has been great. For our audience here listening in, I encourage you to check out the links here around the episode. We're going to have links to Rody's website, his upcoming events, his book. We're going to have all sorts of resources here for you. So I encourage you to go follow Rody, check him out, follow him on social. All this stuff will be here near this interview link. Rody, as we kind of wrap up here today, what would be some final words of advice for our audience that you'd give them?
Ooh, tough question. Final words of advice is probably around the impact and the mission that you're on. And that would be that if you are as committed to the impact in the world that you say that you are, the things that you say I'm going to do, then events are probably the most effective mechanism for you to do that at scale. And the only thing stopping you between having that impact and not is whether or not you take the plunge and trust in yourself and bet on yourself that you can make an event successful. Will it work the first time? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. But if you're that committed to it, you'll just try something else. You'll try something else. You'll try something else. And also probably like get the support, a shameless plug, but get the support of someone who's done it before. Even if it's not me, I don't care. Like I would love for you to work with me, but more so that you're not an island and there's some really good people out there doing some great stuff with teaching events, but yeah, just do it. Just get it out there. And then I always say to my clients, get it out, then get it right. So just do one, you'll learn a ton. And then you'll do your next one, you'll learn a ton and just keep going from there.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Rody. This has been a wonderful interview. Really appreciate you having on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Awesome, man. And that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.